Today on the dark side of, after a 911 caller claims the devil was trying to attack her, a police dispatch to the home to find a child is decapitated. A Florida man accused of murdering younger brother, taking women hostage days after release from prison. And Josh Duggar will learn his fate for child pornography convictions coming up in April. Those stories and more today on the dark side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of...
Yeah, I think none at all is usually the answer. Welcome to the program. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you are downloading us, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever. Just press subscribe or plus or whatever it is. And don't miss any episodes. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, we love putting this thing out for you, so we greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Hey, not too much, Tony. How's it going with you?
I just love reading horrible, horrible headlines in a real peppy voice where it's like, and weather next, you know, because it's just.
That first one that you read, I read that story, and that is just, it's horrific.
What is up with all these people like thinking like there's fucking devils and demons attacking them and then killing people?
It's all drug related.
Can't they just be like our ghost show where it's like, yeah, your cat got a little bit freaked out and you're traumatized for the rest of your life, but you didn't kill your family, you know?
Right.
It's like,
yeah, that's true, because a ghost show does seem so much more normal than this one.
It does.
Because it's like on that show, you know, the cat like is freaking out and staring at the ceiling. And so you think that your cat sees something that you don't see, and it's freaking you out because then the lights went off.
The story never ends where it's like, and then I went to the, got the butcher knife and I chopped off Stevie's head. It's like, no, that doesn't, that's not how the story usually goes. I think the worst we've had sometimes is like, and then I went to bed and suddenly... The ghost
started shaking
and the ghost took my pants off. And then there's been a couple ghost sex stories over the years, which has always been fucking weird. I've edited some out where I've like some of the stories have been like really good. Then all of a sudden it like takes a twist for like ghost sex. And it's like, no, we're not going there.
We're not reading your soft porn.
And some have been far more than soft porn. I mean, some have been like, there was one a couple of years ago where I was like, what on earth? Because it was like a really good front story and it was long. So I'd already invested like 15 minutes reading this thing and it was interesting and good. And all of a sudden it goes there. I'm like, it was almost like somebody else took over writing. And it was just like, and maybe they did. Maybe that's how this thing went. But yeah, it was bizarre. But this one here, after a 911 caller claims the devil was trying to attack her, police dispatched to a home to find a child decapitated. This is from People magazine. A 6-year-old boy was brutally murdered in Kansas City, Missouri, Tuesday evening, and authorities allege his mother was the killer. Tasha Heffs, 35, was charged Wednesday with first-degree murder and armed criminal action, according to a criminal complaint obtained by People. Shortly before midnight on Tuesday, officers responded to Half's home after receiving a call from an unidentified woman inside saying that the devil was trying to attack her, reports WDAF-TV. As police approached the home, police noticed blood and hair on the front steps of the front door. It's alleged in the complaint, officers were able to determine the residence was occupied by a female, reads the complaint. However, she refused to answer the door. The complaint states, investigators quickly learned several children live in the home, and the neighbors had not seen them for a few days. Officers, while attempting to make contact with the female occupant, observed what appeared to be the severed head of a deceased person near the threshold of the residence. It's alleged in the complaint. Officers, fearing for the safety of any children remaining inside the residence, forced entry under exigent circumstances and took the female occupant into custody without incident. During a sweep of the home, police found no other children but located the decapitated body of a young child near the front door of the residence, according to the complaint. KSHB-TV reports that a dead dog was also found in the home. The female suspect had apparent blood on her person, and two knives with apparent blood on them were observed in plain view through the residence, reads the complaint. A blood-stained screwdriver was also retrieved from the scene, because who doesn't need a screwdriver when you're doing that? Half son has not been identified. His death has been ruled a homicide, people learns. While speaking to police, Hefs admitted to killing the victim in the bathtub and decapitating the victim, reads the complaint. Hefs remains in police custody on no bond. Plea and defense attorney information for her was unavailable at press time. I didn't see the "and drugs were involved" line anywhere.
I thought, because there couldn't have been that many stories last week that were along these lines, but what I had read, that she had been up for days.
Really?
Like days and days and days, okay, hadn't slept. And so she was having this obvious drug-induced...
Let's decapitate a child.
Deprived, you know, hallucinations and...
What the fuck is going on? I mean,
that just... again, that just bothers me.
Is this new? I mean, again, it's one of these things like where if we were to go through every newspaper prior to the internet, like city by city by city... And read stories, would we find the same amount of crazy shit going on 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago? People decapitating their children in the bathtub because the devil said to do it.
I don't think the level is the same. Do I think it happened? Of course it did, you know, because there's always been crazy people. But I just think a lot of it's drug induced and I don't know. It's just really sick.
What gets scarier?
The poor kid.
What gets scarier and scarier to me as we go and read these stories is it used to be you'd read the story and you'd see like the mugshot and you'd be like, oh, I'm not surprised at that. Now it's like, this looks like the woman that goes for a walk down the road. this is like the person in front of me picking up the kids at the bus stop, or like, these people don't look that crazy anymore. Like, it's not as easy to spot as it used to be. And I think is just getting scarier and scarier. I mean, I don't know. Are we dealing with a product too? I mean, are we seeing a spike? I mean, look back historically and statistically with COVID going on and everything, that crazy shit like this saw a giant spike as well.
I think you could.
Yeah. Like in years in the future, like, you want to see some crazy shit, look at the news archives from those COVID years. You know, it's like, oh, it's just a fucking treasure trove of insane people.
Well, and it bothers me that how many stories that we come across that are horrific stories with child abuse.
Yeah.
And in this case, I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just can't.
I don't get it. I don't understand. It does not compute. A Florida man accused of murdering younger brother and then taking a woman hostage days after he got released from prison. So he's out and he's ready to settle scores, it sounds like. Daniel Arthur Redmond, 29, was arrested this week for the alleged premeditated murder of his 19-year-old brother, Brendan Ray Redmond. I can't imagine, you know, like being the family member of somebody like this and you're like, you know, they're getting out and you know, they're out of their fucking minds. A Florida man is accused of killing his teen brother and taking a woman hostage days after he was released from prison. Daniel Arthur Redmond, 29, was arrested this week in connection with the murder of his 19-year-old brother, Brendan Ray Redmond, according to a news release from the Citrus County Sheriff's Office. Deputies responded to a shooting in Inverness and discovered Brendan lying in the driveway with multiple gunshot wounds, according to the release. Canine unit tracked Daniel to a nearby mobile home where he allegedly took the victim hostage. The release states deputies say Daniel released the hostage but was shot after he was asked to show his hands. He wouldn't comply and then reached behind his back towards his waistband. Daniel had been released from prison 5 days earlier. Shocking, Fox 13 reported. The immediate action and quick thinking of our deputies demonstrated to this grisly situation speaks volumes to the rigorous training they undergo to serve our citizens. Sheriff Mike Pendergrass said in a statement, "In this situation, every second counted, where our deputies were able to respond immediately and save the life of another victim." Daniel, who is receiving medical treatment, is also facing charges of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, burglary of I don't know what this word is quite, or conveyance with battery. Okay. Shooting, throwing a deadly missile into a dwelling or a conveyance, and kidnapping, according to the release. Oh, he's got a nice little list there. It's unclear if he's been arraigned or entered a plea, or if he's obtained an attorney who can speak on his behalf. Got a lot of stuff. Throwing a deadly missile.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's it's good to be able to do multiple things in your field, you know? And it sounds like he's going for employee of the month.
Mike, he must have been pissed at his brother all along.
Maybe.
Because he seemed to go after him pretty immediately.
That's what I'd like to know. Like, what's the backstory here? What happened?
And what about his poor parents?
Yeah.
Like, golly. I don't even get that. Like, how could you kill anyone, let alone your own brother?
Well, you know, the correctional system really does a lot of correcting. It's like training to go out and like be worse. It's like, here, let's get you a gym and let's get you a really buff and give you a lot of time to think about what the fuck you're going to do to somebody. So we can get you in shape and then, go ahead, start planning.
In the juvenile correction system, there is no correction at all. It's just a juvenile holding system.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
It's like an orphanage.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer, but nobody's getting any help or rehabilitation.
No. Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of it.
No.
And he probably was in for, you know, like 10 years and got out in 2 because COVID issues. It's like, because I've heard of several cases where people got out, were released, who did some pretty horrific crimes and got released early because of overcrowding.
Yeah.
And there's COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if they sat in prison for 5 more years, nothing would be any different, I guess, but still.
They wouldn't be out in society and potentially, you know,
killing
their siblings or having their family and those who know them fearing for their lives because this lunatic is out.
Yeah.
And there's a restraining order. Yeah, that really helped the first time, didn't it?
I don't know the backstory to this guy.
Yeah.
So maybe he went out drinking with his brother and his brother got drunk and they got in a fight and he killed him. I don't know.
Well, there was a crazy one this show with Sean the other day. It was about a New York girl was missing since 2019. Found alive. This is a child. This is like a 7 or 8 year old. And found under the stairwell of like the grandpa or something. And the fucking grandpa's out on bail.
Like in that one too, it didn't totally make sense to me because were they hiding her there? Like she had her own bedroom, I think.
No, it was a little like just nook. It was like, it looks like a dumpster under a stair. But
I couldn't, by reading the article, it didn't make total sense because it said something about she had a bedroom, but they found her there. So they kind of were like, when they thought someone was coming, they made her get in there to hide.
I didn't catch that part of it, but...
And I don't know. And, yeah. But I'm like, okay, but in the story that I'd read was like, but if they're hiding her like that, the girl hasn't had any education.
Yeah.
Probably hasn't been to a doctor. Like, you didn't get primary custody. And I can't imagine how hard that would be, you know, to have custody taken away. But it's usually for a reason.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I could imagine being really upset, but make it right for the kid. Instead of just disappearing with the kid and then the kid suffers from it.
Yeah.
Like you're not giving the kid any sort of life at all because the kid can't have friends.
Yeah.
You know,
they're released on their own recognizance. So essentially in this town here, where is this? It's in New York. You can essentially store a child under a stairwell for about 2.5 years. And they can be reported missing. You can deny any knowledge of them. So essentially, you've kidnapped a child and you're storing them in inhumane conditions for years. And we're going to let you off with a slap on the wrist. We're going to have you come back, but you're not going to be held in jail. You're going to back on your own recognizance. Like, that's insane. I mean, I don't know what the fuck you call that other than insane. Like, that's not a justice system. That's... yeah. Unless I'm completely missing something on the story, which I do not think I am, because I've read through it now a couple times on a couple shows, and it's just like, how? I don't get it. It's again,
sick.
Hugh Brooks and Dunn, Only in America. Only in America. We're dreaming in red, white, and blue, storing children under stairs. Not going to tell anybody where they're going to go to. Speaking of a nice guy, Josh Duggar, going to learn his fate for child pornography convictions at court hearing in April. Get the popcorn out. Josh Duggar, who's been in custody since the guilty verdicts in December, faces up to 20 years in prison and $250,000 in fines. Some people, Josh Duggar will be sentenced on April 5th. Some 4 months after the former reality TV star and political activist was convicted of knowing and receipt of possession of child pornography, the 33-year-old eldest son of Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar was found guilty on December 9th. After nearly a two-week trial in Arkansas, during which prosecutors presented evidence he had repeatedly downloaded and viewed child sexual abuse material from a hidden part of his work computer over several days in May of 2019. His attorneys failed to persuade the jury of their version of events that Duggar's computer was either hacked or had been exploited by someone else with access to the used car lot. The 19 kids and counting alum sentencing was scheduled on a Tuesday, according to the court docket. He has been held in custody since his convictions. His sentencing was pending a report by federal authorities who will present their findings to the judge. Records show that the report was entered last Friday, but it's not publicly available. Duggar faces up to 20 years in prison or $250,000 in fines because of how he was charged. However, he will only technically be sentenced for receipt at the possession crime is considered a lesser included offense. His attorneys, meanwhile, are in the process of an appeal and have vowed in December to pursue, claiming in court papers that the judge should reverse the guilty verdicts or at least grant him a new trial. Duggar's defense says the prosecution failed to prove their case. They made a similar argument partway through the trial, though the judge was not persuaded. The defense further argues that prosecutors violated various rules and requirements and that Duggar was effectively precluded from calling any necessary witnesses. Federal prosecutors dismissed that in their response. His bare-bones argument ignores the simple proof beyond any reasonable doubt that Duggar repeatedly downloaded and viewed this material on a password-protected partition and that the files had titles indicative of their illegality, prosecutors said. Duggar's conviction split his famous family, many of whom were in attendance throughout the trial. Various relatives spoke out to applaud the verdict afterwards and to offer support for sexual abuse victims and child victims. Duggar's wife, Anna, with whom he shares 7 children, has not yet commented. In their own statement, his parents, Jim Bob and Michelle, said, "This entire ordeal has been very grievous. Our hearts and prayers are with everyone who has been harmed through CSAM, child sexual abuse material." The parents of the 19 continued, "In the days ahead, we will do all we can to surround our daughter-in-law, Anna, and their children with love and support. His parents have never stopped praying for Joshua and loving him as we do all our children. In each of life's circumstances, we place our trust in God. He is our source of strength and refuge. Thank you for your prayers." I don't know if they said it quite like that, but...
interpretive reading.
"Thank you for your prayers." And then they slammed the mic down and just like rushed away. No, I don't know.
Well, in his defense, well, I shouldn't say he doesn't have a defense. That was the wrong word. What he had said was like they thought there was another guy at the car lot or somebody who had access to his computer.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the deal?
Well, they were saying, they're saying somebody hacked it. I mean, because that's the excuse and you have no excuse. Somebody hacked it. It's like,
but it's the same guy who his wife had, there was some kind of, that whole paywall thing was, or whatever it's called, was set up. Because he was being monitored for his computer used to start with.
It was a partition that was set up on his computer by him using, it was Josh's passwords, it was Josh's usernames, and it was things that he'd used on other things as well. So it wasn't like this is some secret partition that he didn't know about. It was all of his shit.
And it was like, he had to do that. Like, and wasn't there a deal where his wife was the one who was monitoring his computer usage or something like that?
Well, that's why he did it. Yeah, because they had like some sort of like,
an incident.
Don't look at porn browser. And, you know, because he's an adult, he could find a way around it because he's not a child.
Because there was the whole Ashley Madison thing and he like has some porn addiction. And then whoops, at work, it's like, poor unlucky me. You know, I'm just being a good guy and somebody like downloads all this stuff on my computer.
It happens to everybody, you know, just random.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Alex Murdaugh back in the news as well. He's hit with two more lawsuits filed by survivors of the fatal 2019 boat crash involving his son. Two new lawsuits have been lodged against Alex Murdaugh and others of the 2019 fatal boat crash involving his son, Paul, that left one teenager dead. Paul had allegedly been piloting the Murdaugh's boat after a heavy night of drinking when it crashed into a pylon under a bridge ejecting 19-year-old Mallory Beach. Beach was found dead in the water about a week later. Paul was later charged with three felony counts of boating under the influence, but he'd never go to trial. Paul and his mother, Maggie Murdaugh, were found shot to death at the family's Colton County hunting compound in June, ending the criminal case against him. But the family has still been subjected to a series of lawsuits related to the crash. The latest suits filed on behalf of boat passengers Miley Altman and Morgan Daughtry named Murdaugh, his surviving son Buster, who allegedly provided his brother with his ID to purchase alcohol, the estates of Maggie and Paul and Parker's Corporation, the convenience store chain where Paul purchased the alcohol before the crash, according to the lawsuits obtained by Oxygen. The suits, which are similar in their claims, and both filed by attorney Mark Tinsley, allege that Maggie had actual knowledge that Paul Murdaugh was consuming alcohol while operating the family's vehicles before the fatal crash and had liked social media profiles where Paul was seen consuming alcohol as a minor. Alex and Maggie also knowingly and willfully allowed their minor son to illegally purchase and consume alcohol, and Maggie had provided the credit card used on February 23, 2019 to buy the alcohol, according to the lawsuits. Paul Murdaugh's consumption of alcohol was condoned, encouraged, and facilitated by Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Margaret Kennedy Brandsetter Murdaugh, the lawsuit alleges. Just hours before the boat crashed, the suit alleges that Maggie spoke to an intoxicated Paul Murdaugh by telephone. However, she failed to stop Paul despite knowing that he was intoxicated after having paid for the alcohol he consumed earlier. The lawsuits allege that by entrusting Paul with the boat, even though they knew or reasonably should have known that he would be drinking, created an appreciable risk to harm others, according to the lawsuit. Buster Murdaugh is also accused of willfully providing his brother with the identification and misrepresenting facts to the Department of Motor Vehicles in order to obtain duplicate identification to allow Paul Murdaugh to purchase and consume alcohol. Once on the boat, the lawsuit states that Paul refused to stop the boat at the passenger's request so they could get off safely and operated the boat in a reckless and unsafe manner with utter disregard for the safety of others. Daughtry, who had been Paul's girlfriend at the time, suffered permanent scarring and disfigurement as a result of the crash, according to the lawsuit, and also suffered injuries to her hand and finger. Altman, who suffered injuries to her arm, other parts of her body, and suffered some permanent injuries during the crash, according to their suit, WCSC reports. Both women are seeking actual and punitive damage, costs, and attorney's fees. Alex Murdaugh is currently facing 9 civil suits, including one previously filed by Beach's mother, And the other two passengers on board that boat that night, Anthony Cook and Connor Cook, according to the Greenville News. Alex, once a prominent attorney in South Carolina, is also facing a series of lawsuits connected to allegations that he stole more than $8 million from his former clients. Attorneys and others, including the family of longtime housekeeper Gloria Statterfield. He's currently behind bars at the Richland County, South Carolina jail, facing 74 criminal charges against him. The murders of his wife and youngest son remain unsolved. This is all going to be probably tied together somehow, doesn't it?
See, you know, because all of this, I was aware of this story before, like with a boating incident.
Yeah.
Because I'd read a long story about it back then. Like, you know, the kid has really rich parents, I guess, before all this shit happened. And so that kid and that family was in some shit already. And then the fact that he and his mom both end up dead, I think is very strange. Anyway, like, why? Because, you know, at first I thought, well, maybe it's somebody who was really mad about the boating incident.
Yeah.
You know, like a parent or something. I get it.
Well, was it because was the thought process, and I would think he would know the answer to this being an attorney. Was the thought process, if I kill them, they're the ones that are at fault, so then all the lawsuits will just go away, because he knew eventually he was going to have to pay for it if they were suing the son.
I don't know. It seems like it should all be connected.
But I would think he would be smart enough to know it doesn't fucking matter. They're still going to sue you and your estate.
He's also on drugs.
Yeah.
But like, none of it has made sense. Like trying to have somebody kill him so his son could get the inheritance or whatever that was, that's weird.
Yeah.
Cause if you're going to have somebody kill you, you can have somebody kill you. You can end up dead. You know, it's not like some botched whoops. Didn't mean to not kill you.
Yeah.
You know, none of it makes sense. But the poor families, you know, like the original incident with the boat, like that was horrific. And so then all of that, everything gets overshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
And these families are still living this. And these people had very serious injuries still living with it.
Yeah. And you just, it's like, and they are basically subjected to basically a circus show.
Yeah.
Because none of this makes any sense. You're trying to put the dots together. The guy's out of his fucking mind. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, what the fuck? And like, and they're still like, he's not even charged with murder, but look, like that'll come up at some point here. It's just insane for one person to have all of this chaos around them that seems to be like in their own little like universes of their own, but somehow it's all connected.
It has to be.
Will we ever know? Will it ever be connected where he can confirm it? Or is this going to be like one of those, like, somebody, you know, the theory on it this way, that there'll be 20 different books on it. Like, this is the way we think it was. Because it is, it's a total mystery. And there's so many weird, but it's a moving one. It's many moving parts still. I think we're far from done on him. Although he's one I would not be surprised if he's, you know, found dead in his cell.
Well, they've already tried to kill him. Wink, wink.
I think at this point you got to go, well, if they couldn't kill me, maybe I should just do this myself now. I don't know. I mean, that may be how that's, if you were to ask me how I think this ends, that's how it ends. I think he kills himself in his cell.
Kid's not going to get anything at this point, because there's not going to be anything.
I think it's going to be an ego thing and a pride thing. And he's never, because he's a crazy malignant narcissist. And I think he'd rather go out on his own terms and be in control of that than let anything else happen. I think it's just, you know, then he'll view that he won. and people still don't know what the fuck he was up to, because it probably goes far deeper than even these cases. There's probably much, much more that this man was up to. But there you go. Fun times in our world today, kids. It's almost like a little escape hearing about these crazy people from all the other crazy people that are in the main news. But there you go. All right, that wraps up the show. If you like the show, check out our Patreon page. Search Dark Side Of on Patreon or the Patreon app. Or go to darksidepod.com and click become a supporter of our show, and you'll get access to our final chapters, our bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all there for you when you become a Darksider. Patreon.com and search Dark Side Of. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.